Diocese of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it is March the 10th, 2024. This is the first full day of daylight savings time. So I hope you're not tired because we had to set the clocks forward an hour.
I know. It usually takes me a couple of weeks to adjust.
It's tough for me, too. My dinner time is all messed up. It really messes me up. But it's a blessing to be here, friends. We're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And hopefully you remember to push your clocks forward and you haven't missed the program. But it's always good to be here. We want to thank Ray Powers, too, for allowing us to be on the air here every single week.
Yeah, Ray has been faithful to our cause, and we couldn't do it without him.
And, you know, Ray is a man who has a lot of faith, and I think that's why he likes programs like this to be on the network.
Right.
And we're glad to be here. So just a little bit of information about Prophecies of Hope. We try to fill you in on that each and every week.
Yeah, we're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we have services on Wednesday evening, which is a Bible study slash prayer time, which is available via Zoom. And we also have our church services on the Sabbath or Saturday, and we have a Bible study at 9:30, which is available via Zoom or streamed live. And we have our church worship hour at 11, which is available via live stream. And also currently, Rick and Mary have started a prayer slash testimony time, sharing time on Mondays, every other Monday.
Yeah, and that's been very uplifting to a lot of people that have been tuning in. It's actually a small group because not a lot of people can. First of all, when you take a lot of time to pray, sometimes that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about how often do you have a conversation that's just a minute or two long? You know, our prayers typically during the day might be short. But, Ed, you and I have had conversations that have lasted for an hour or more, right? Mm-hmm. We sit here for an hour.
Right.
So talking to God for an hour, why should that be so difficult?
You know, maybe we should talk about that sometime.
Yeah, I think that would be a good topic to talk about. Yeah. So just one of the things that we want to say to you as well, friends, if you have a topic that you would like to cover or a question, a Bible question, not that we have all the answers, but we will attempt to answer those questions or cover those topics from the Bible to the best of our ability.
Right.
And if you have a question, you can contact Ed. How do they reach you, Ed?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
All right. Or you can reach me at mark at prophecyhope.com. We have a general email address, which is office at prophecyhope.com.
And our focus here in our ministry, not only on this radio program, but in our ministry, is to find out what the Bible says.
Amen. You know, and this is something, you know, we don't want to give our opinion. While we have opinions, and sometimes people will ask me, well, what's your personal opinion? I will give them my opinion, but I think it's very important in ministry that every answer come from God's Word.
Yes.
And this is one thing, and I'm going to tell you, friends, I haven't been that way all of the time. I've learned that more, especially since I've known Ed. You've taught me that, Ed, more than anybody, you know, because I'll ask Ed a question, and he'll say, well, let's see what God's Word says.
Well, you know, there's so many opinions. There's so many versions of different doctrines out there. How do you know what to believe unless you go to God's Word to find out what it says, not to prove yourself right or somebody else wrong, but simply to find out what it is. What does it say?
You know, and it's hard. I've got to be honest. It's hard to find people, and including myself in this, because I know what I think, and I'm comfortable with what I think and believe. But to have someone to say, well, it doesn't matter to me what my opinion is. I want to know what God's Word says. And
that's the right place to be in.
That's the right place to be. And I've learned that more and more over the years. And especially, you know, Ed is our primary Sabbath school teacher because we have Sabbath school on Saturday mornings, as he mentioned. And you are the primary teacher. That's a gift God has given you, Ed, that you have. If somebody asks a question, you always want to go right to the Word of God to get the answer.
You know, that's a gift God has given each of us. And, you know, I find that if you ask for things, pray to God and ask for things, you'll receive.
That's
if
so
you
true.
Want to know what the Bible says, ask for wisdom and knowledge. Claim that promise in James 1. Claim the promise of John 16, where Jesus says, I will send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Amen.
And so when you claim that promise, the Bible opens up.
It surely does. So I think, one other thing. You can find our website at it's www.prophecyhope.com, and you'll find over 500 sermons there, and you'll find some information there as far as the radio programs, some older newsletters that we'd written in the past. And, you know, Ed, to claim that promise that you were just talking about and get us started in this time, would you pray for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time we can come together and to share your word with those listening online. Father, again, as we talk today about Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. Give us wisdom and knowledge to understand what your word says. Give us guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, what have we been studying over the past probably month or so?
We've been studying a lot in the book of Revelation. We've talked about identifying some of the images in Revelation 13 and how it affects our lives today. But we've also have ended up in Revelation 18, where it talks about Babylon becoming this dwelling place of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit. And it says in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not partake of her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues.
Okay.
Now, we've talked about who this beast is and who the... She's the mother of harlots.
Right.
And we've talked about who the harlots are. And we've discovered that this saying, come out of her, my people, is not just in the future, but it's also been in the past, because I personally experienced that.
Right.
And I think you have too, Mark.
I have. You shared your testimony last week.
Right.
And, you know, if you haven't heard that, you can go back to the website, and you should be able to hear that on the website very soon.
Now, you got to remember, Mark and I are from different backgrounds.
Right.
And we both believed we had the truth.
Yes, I was convinced I had the truth.
Oh, I did too.
And I would have gone to my grave over it. You know?
But what happened, Mark?
Oh, goodness.
You grew up in a Christian home, right?
I did, yeah. I had a good upbringing. You know, when I turned 18, unlike you, you know, you kind of stayed the course. You grew up in a Christian home, and you just had that walk, that journey throughout your life. And for me, I grew up in a Christian home, and once I moved out of the house, I just kind of went to the world. But, you know, all of those things that I had learned as a youth kind of stuck with me.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that it was instilled in me that God knows what I'm thinking, that he watches what I'm doing, that he cares about me. And, you know, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but in a different way than I understand that now.
Right.
So during those years, it was about 10 years from the time I was 18 till I was in my late 20s, I just kind of did my thing. I never got involved in drugs or alcohol or, you know, chasing women.
Well, see, that's some of that upbringing.
It
stuck with you, even though you went out into the world, so to say, and hung out with people that did that kind of
thing.
They
did.
You chose not to.
Sure. They understood. They knew the people that I was around, even though we might not have had the same upbringing. While they were doing those things, if somebody would say to me, you know, they might be passing marijuana around. They would say, here. And they would say, no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. They knew that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's unusual.
And they kind of protected you.
They did. They looked out for me through that time. If somebody had something smart to say, they would kind of say, hey, you mind your own business, you know. And so there was some kind of a mutual respect. And even though my personality was much different then, you know, I did use, unfortunately, during that time, I was in the world enough that, I was using language I shouldn't use.
Yeah.
I did a lot of drag racing on the highway, you know, which is very dangerous. And, you know, so I had things that I was doing that I shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. But that Christian upbringing, it stuck with me as far as how to treat people and living a moral life.
It actually protected you.
It was a great protection because so many of my friends that grew up in the same church that I grew up in, they just went off the deep end and they got into drugs and alcohol. A number of them are dead now because of their lifestyle.
Right.
And so what happened, I guess, in I got married at a young age, at 20. It's interesting because my wife, I met her through her brother, and come to find out when I went to her house, I didn't realize that she was going to the church that I grew up in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Because they had moved here. They had moved here when we were kind of mid-teens. And so it was kind of interesting once I found out who she was and I started pursuing her. But she stayed the course. She never left the church. Mm-hmm. Even after we got married, for all of those years, she was faithful. And I was just kind of doing my own thing. And really, being married to her helped stabilize me.
Right.
Because I had a godly wife. Mm-hmm. That means so much, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. And her demeanor helped me to see God working in her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see those things. So I guess in my late 20s, something happened in my family, and someone came to me and asked me for some advice. And it was advice about their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't have children. Who am I to ask? So what I did was I kind of referred them to the church that that I grew up in. Because, you know, the church, when you grow up, you think the church is the authority.
Right.
And it ended up that through the advice that was given, I thought that was very good counsel, and I ended up starting to look back into some of the doctrines of my church that I grew up in. And in doing that, I was proving things from the Bible, but not the way I do today. You know, it was almost like I'm trying to prove my church right.
Yes.
The church of my youth, I'm trying to prove it right.
That's how I grew up. That's what I was taught growing up, to prove my church right.
Yeah. So I had the same mindset that you had, even though we were in different churches.
Right.
And so here I am, I'm studying these things, and I ended up getting baptized into the church.
Yeah.
About not even a year later.
You and your wife at the same time, right?
We got baptized at the same time. Even through those years, she never did. She never got baptized. And that's another story in itself. But we were baptized on the same day. I was actually baptized in 1996. Okay. That was the year that we were baptized. So that gives you a little timeline here. I was about 30 at that time. I was 29, actually, because it was in May of 1996. And 1 month later, you know, I was very confident because having grown up in the church, I knew enough about the Bible that I could defend what I believed. I understood what I believed. And through that period of time that I, quote-unquote, studied with the leaders of the church, I loved to read, and I was in the Bible a lot. But there were things I didn't see because I'm looking at it through the glasses of my church.
Right.
Like you said, that happens to all of us. And so what happened was, about a month after I was baptized, a man walks into my shop. I have an auto shop. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have an auto shop, right?
Yes.
And you were using that auto shop as a way to witness to people.
Absolutely. In the waiting area, I had literature from my church laying there that people would pick up and read. And this man happened to pick up a little book, and he was looking at it. And he said, hey, does somebody here go to this particular church? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, that's interesting. So he asked me a few questions.
Uh-huh.
And one of the questions that he asked me, he says, well, does your church teach that the commandments of God are still intact?
Uh-huh.
And I looked at him like he was crazy. I said, well, of course. And he says, I'm so glad to hear that. And I was so confident, Ed. I was so confident. I went and I grabbed my Bible. And I said, well, let's just take a look at them. And I opened it up here. I'm going to do it right now. Opened it up to Exodus chapter 20. And this is where we find the commandments actually enumerated for the first time in the Bible. It's Exodus chapter 20. And I started reading, and I was so proud because I knew that my church is doing this better than any other church. Because we have the truth.
Yeah.
And so when I read the first commandment about not having any other gods, I was proud because I knew that I believed in one God.
Right.
You see. And then when it talked about—
And that was different than a lot of churches teach
different
today.
Different than a lot of churches. That's true. And then when I got to the second commandment about not bowing down to serve idols, right, I was so proud of that. And then the third commandment about not blaspheming the name of God, my chest was getting puffed up more and more. And suddenly I get to the fourth commandment, and I looked at it, and I paused, and I looked up at the man in front of me, and I looked back down at the Bible, and he actually said, "Are you okay?" Because I think he saw the terror in my face. Because I was mortified. I looked and I said to him, "We don't keep all of the commandments of God."
Right.
And he said to me, "Most churches don't."
Explain what the fourth commandment says.
Yeah, the fourth commandment, this is the first word is what got me. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And Ed, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I immediately knew something was wrong. So I go to my desk drawer in my office, and I pull out this little book that has answers to questions that people might have objections to. You know, because we had the truth. We had the answers for everything.
Right.
That was my thinking. Yeah. So I open it up to the section of that book that said Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at these reasons why the Sabbath is no longer, that's what they taught, no longer for Christians.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I saw it ask, why is Sunday the primary day of worship instead of the Sabbath, which is Saturday? They said that the Sabbath was Saturday in their own literature.
Right.
And then it said that the reason why is because Constantine had changed it from Saturday to Sunday in a law that he made in the year 321, I believe it was, A.D. And that just floored me. And I thought, so we're following a Roman emperor?
A pagan Roman emperor.
Instead of the Bible? Yeah. This just pulled the rug right out from under me, Ed. I mean, it was a helpless feeling. I can't explain how I felt, because I knew, in my mind, I knew I had the truth.
So what did this man say to you?
Well, he actually said most churches don't keep the Ten Commandments. And I was thinking of things like, well, you know, many churches will say, well, as long as you've asked for forgiveness, it's okay to commit adultery.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another, and, you know, I told him, I said, my church doesn't keep all the commandments. And he says, well, you know, my advice to you is to keep studying your Bible. And come to find out, you know, as I read through these commandments, I found out that my church keeps 9 of them, mm-hmm. probably better than most churches. That's how I felt.
Right.
Because the people that I grew up with, the church that I grew up in, the people, they're wonderful people. You know, the people are great. They want to serve God. They believe they have the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They live a moral lifestyle for the most part. And so here with this topic, I actually went home that day, and my wife says, well, how was your day? The first words out of my mouth was, we're in the wrong church.
Wow.
And wow, the look that she gave me, I'll never forget it. And I realized at that moment, I can't say that to her. I can't, because she believes she's got the truth.
Right.
So this started a study for me. In fact, that night, that was a Tuesday. I'll never forget the date.
Let me ask you a question about this study that you started.
Sure.
Now, we've talked about this in the past. Were you studying to prove the Sabbath wrong?
Yes. I thought to myself, my church can't be wrong.
Yeah.
There's something I'm not understanding here. That's mm-hmm. how I looked at it. And even though I felt like I'm in the wrong church, I thought, if I leave this church, one of their policies is that they shun.
Right.
And I'm going to lose my family.
You know, maybe even your wife.
Maybe even my wife. This has happened.
Yeah.
And this is very serious. And so here I am, you know, I'm hanging out here in the balance and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So that night, I went to the church. We had a church meeting on a Tuesday because this was a Tuesday. And that night, I went to church and I pulled one of the elders aside and I asked him, I said, why don't we keep the Sabbath holy? And he says, oh, that's all done away with. We don't do that anymore. And I said, well, wait a minute. I can be excommunicated for if I commit adultery unrepentantly, mm-hmm. I can be excommunicated. If I bow down to an idol or worship a false god or blaspheme God's name or steal or any of those things. But why is this one? This is the longest commandment. It's the only one that says remember. It's the one that's called holy. It's the one that shows it was established in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve.
Right.
It was sanctified by God. And his answer was, well, where did you get this information? I said, it's right here in Exodus 20. I said, I was talking to this guy today, and he asked me if our church kept the commandments. And I said, yes. And then I found out we don't.
Right.
And he says, well, you need to stop talking to this man. And I said, he didn't tell me this.
Yeah.
He didn't. I said, while he might believe what I'm telling you, he didn't tell me this.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He didn't try to persuade me. He saw that I saw the power of the words on the page.
Yes.
And that was my first experience, Ed, was seeing the words on the page, and look at how it just changed my life.
Right. It's not the only time that happened.
No, it's not.
For all of us.
That's correct. And this can happen but that was my first experience
right.
with it. This can happen to anyone. And this, Ed, you constantly emphasize what? Reading the words
on
the
page.
To see what they say. You were sharing something with me right before we went on the air about
yes.
someone, you were reading something and you said...
I was amazed how this person saw the words on the page that I hadn't seen till this morning.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So, you know, it shows the power of God's word to take me from being fully confident that I had the truth to saying, this is wrong. There's something wrong here. So I was on this journey now to prove that my church can't be wrong because I wasn't going to give in to this guy, you know? And it was a matter of pride.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say that I fought this for years. And then finally one day, I had proven to myself after buying books about it and reading, I actually bought a book that was, that was actually opposed to the Sabbath and was trying to show why the Sabbath is no longer relevant for
You've
us.
You've seen the Bible, right?
That's what this person said, and he would quote Scripture. But as I would read the Scripture, I'd say, this is out of context.
Yes.
And I got angry. I still have that book because that book actually convinced me even more. It's a book against the Sabbath, but after comparing what it said to what the Bible actually says.
Yes.
I was convinced even more. So now that I understood the Sabbath truth, I started finding other problems with my church. And one of them was what they believed about the return of Christ.
Yes.
And the Bible says that when Jesus comes, that every eye will see him coming in the clouds with glory.
It's not going to be a secret.
No, it's not.
Sound of a trumpet.
Yes. So it's quite a stimulating event
yes.
for us because we'll see it, we'll hear it, right? The dead in Christ shall rise,
right.
We shall be caught up to meet. And I was never taught these things. I was taught that I would spend all of my life, that through the 1,000 years I would be here on earth.
So who taught you these things?
This was, who taught me what I know now?
Yeah.
I read it in the Bible for
yes,
myself.
That's right.
I didn't learn this from a church or a denomination. It was by reading the words on the page. And the more I did that, Ed, the more I saw, wow, my church isn't the truth. They profess to have it, but they're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching doctrines of Babylon.
Yes.
I have to come out of this.
Yes.
That's the text that you were reading earlier.
Yeah.
What is that, Revelation 18?
18, verse 4.
Do you have that there? Can you read that again?
Yeah. And it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues.'"
Wow. So here I was. I realized that I'm sitting in a church. And, you know, what happened through those years, I skipped this. I decided about a year after I was in, when I started to study these things and I was learning that my church isn't the truth, I decided that I was going to start fading away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me see if I can just make a slow, easy fade. And about that time, they came to me and asked me if I could be a deacon. And I thought to myself, well, you know, as a deacon, you have a voice. Maybe somebody will hear what I say. All Maybe right. I can preach the truth to somebody. And so I accepted it. And I did that for a few years. I took it seriously. I never made any waves in the church. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. And then I was going to begin my fade again, and then they came and said, "Would you like to be an elder? Is there anything that prevents you from being an elder?" And oh, I didn't know what to do, and I thought, you know, as an elder, you have a lot more say, and people respect you, and they'll listen. So maybe I can make a witness.
All right.
And so I accepted the position. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on in my life. I was thinking, here I am trying to come out of Babylon, and it seems like something's keeping me here. And I didn't know what it was. You know, and I got to thinking, well, you know, God allowed his people to go into captivity,
mm-hmm.
and he allowed them to be in Egypt, right? And which is part of Babylon.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And he allowed them to be there for a reason. And I thought, there's got to be a reason. I didn't know what it was. But now I look back and I say, now I know the reason.
You learned a lot.
I learned so much. And I was put in positions that I would never want to be in again. I hope I never am. But I was exposed to situations and things that helped me to see how to use the Bible to help people more. Mm-hmm. And I was taught public speaking. And I was taught how to not be afraid to go and boldly preach what you believe. And that's what caused me to be able to break free from it too, was, hey, if I really believe this, I got to stand up for it.
Right.
But it wasn't on myself that I did that. I kept saying to myself, I've got to do it, but I can't do it. I've got to do it, but I can't do it. And then, go ahead.
There was huge consequences for leaving that church.
Absolutely.
To you personally.
Yes, I could lose my family, my yeah. wife, my friends, everybody that I grew up with, you know, because they cut you off completely. So what happened is I started my process gradually. Once I had concluded that I can't not keep the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
I actually went into my office one day and I got on my knees and I prayed and I said to God, I don't have the strength to do this, but I want to keep your Sabbath holy. So with the power that you give me through your Son,
Amen.
I'm going to keep the Sabbath holy, but I can't do it on my own. I knew that. I realized it because there was so much pull.
And what happens?
Well, what happened was after I prayed that prayer, I got up out of my off of the floor, and I went out into the kitchen, and my wife is making breakfast, and she says to me, "Oh, by the way, this coming weekend, there's an auction at the dealership right next to your shop." It was a Porsche dealership mm-hmm. there. And I said, "An auction?" I said, and the owner, we were good friends. I said, he didn't even say anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Yeah, it was in the paper. It's coming up this weekend." I said, "Well, when is it?" She said, "It's Saturday."
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Ed, I was like, "Lord, what are you doing to me? Are you testing me?" You know, but I don't think he was testing me.
Right.
I think it was the devil testing
yes.
me. And I didn't know what to do. And she says, "Well, here's what all's going to be there." And she goes through this list, and it was automotive equipment that I knew. I knew what kind of equipment he had, and because he was moving the dealership. And I paused and I said, "I can't go." And she says, "What do you mean you can't? What, you got something going on?" I said, "You know, I've had this struggle." She knew about that I was mm-hmm. struggling with the Sabbath. And I said, I just prayed that I was going to keep the Sabbath holy from here on out. I can't go. And she didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. She went to the auction. I did not. And she came back home that day, and she had bought a couple little things. And I says, how was it? And she says, it was terrible. She says, hardly anybody was there. I said, really? And she said, yeah. And she says, I don't know what happened. So the following Monday, I go to work, and the fellow comes over to the shop. And I said, hey, he said, I saw your wife here. I said, yeah. I said, she told me she saw you. And he said, it was terrible. And I said, so what, you didn't sell anything? He said, not really. He says, none of the auto stuff sold. I said, well, I'm interested in a couple of things that you have. So we walked over to his business, and he had a gas analyzer there, which measures the emissions coming out of the exhaust. Right. And, you know, they're, for a cheap one, you're looking at $6,000 or $7,000. And his was a very nice unit. And I said, you know, I'm very interested in the gas analyzer. I said, and I'm interested in this distributor machine, which is an old machine.
Right.
And he says, well, I said, what do you want for them? And he says, you know what? You'd just be doing me a favor if you just took them. And I looked at him. I said, no, I have to give you something for them. He says, no. He said, you know what? I know you'll use them for the right purpose. You can have them.
Wow.
Ed, he gave me over $10,000 worth of equipment. Just gave it to me. And he threw in a what was called, at that time, it was a carbon clean injector cleaner, which was several thousand dollars in itself. He said, here, take this too, because I know you do injection cleanings over there. That was back then. Yeah. We don't do that anymore. But it floored me. And it's still to this day, I don't know that it's completely sunk in on me because, right. You know, we look back in the Bible history and we see that Job was blessed for being faithful. You know, he had children. He lost those children.
Right.
He had all these material things. He lost them, standing firm for what God asked him to do.
Right.
And he was blessed in return. And it reminded me of a text, which I'm going to share with you in a moment, because there was another time that something like this happened, but not with material things. But what a blessing that was to me, and what a witness that was. You know, I've never mentioned to Tanya, you know, I kept that Sabbath holy, and look at how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to rub it in her face.
You didn't have to. She already saw that.
She had to see it.
Yeah.
She had to see it. And, you know, the guys that worked with me when I first decided I was going to close my business, that was the most profitable day. I should have told you that up front. I don't have any notes. I'm just trying to go from memory. But that's the most, Saturday is the most profitable day in an auto repair business because people are off of work, and they usually go to church on Sunday.
Right.
So Saturday is the day they mow their yards, get their cars fixed, go to the grocery store, right? And so in order to close my business on the Sabbath day, that was a huge decision. And I talked with the employees about it, and they were ecstatic. They were like, we'd love to have a two-day weekend. You know? But I was concerned because I thought this is going to be our livelihood, because sometimes on a Saturday, we would do as much business as we would do in the 5 days of the week.
And you had a feeling of responsibility for your employees.
Absolutely, because it's not just my livelihood.
Right.
There are other families that's their bread and butter is right there. And, you know, they get paid by what they do. So if the week isn't as busy as the weekend, it's going to affect their payroll, their paycheck.
Right.
So they were all in. And so we started that Saturday, we closed, and that was the first Sabbath I kept. And from there on out, we were closed on Sabbath to this day. And what's amazing is within just a few weeks, we noticed that business was better in the 5 days than it had ever been. And, you know, people might think, well, you're making this up. No, you can ask the people that work for me. They are there. There's two people that still work for me that were there that many years ago that will tell you, business has been better than ever since we started closing on Saturday, on the Sabbath. And, you know, that was a witness in itself.
Yes.
The fact that I didn't show up to the auction on that day. You know, my neighbor asked me, hey, I was surprised you weren't here. And I had a chance to witness and say, well, you know, I started keeping the biblical Sabbath, and that's why I wasn't here. And you've blessed me with these things, which I take that came from God. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, I can't argue with that. That's what he said. And I wish you could have seen the look on Ed's face when his phone just rang.
You're laughing for a reason. Because years ago, I was up preaching in a church and my phone rang. I go, nobody calls me.
That's right. I remember to turn mine off as I was talking. I don't know if you noticed, I picked up my phone and turned the volume off. But that's okay. This is good stuff. But what a witness that was to him.
Yes.
As well. So all of my customers started noticing that would come on Saturdays that I was closed. They would ask me why. Mm-hmm. I would share with them, right here, it's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And then that would start a whole thing. Well, I thought Sunday was the Sabbath. And so we'd get into those conversations.
Now, your learning from God's Word didn't stop there. It was just the beginning.
That was just the beginning. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sad to say, and friends, don't put it off. If you see Bible truth, you know, we're too close. I believe that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And we don't know what the next day brings for us as far as our mortality.
Right.
Anything can happen. Don't put it off. I was very fortunate. I fought this for 10 years of my life. And through that 10 years, I never slept. My wife will tell you, there was 10 years that I didn't sleep a full night through because my conscience was torturing me. Really. And I think it was God allowing that to happen, saying, mm-hmm. You know, you want to live like this? I'll let you do it. You know, we're told in Scripture that He will send a strong delusion if that's what we want. Right? And really, that's where I was headed. And I'm just so grateful because what happened after I started keeping Sabbath is I kept studying and I realized I'm going to have to leave the church that I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to leave. And I didn't know how to do it.
And the consequences of doing that, again, are severe.
Very severe. And that's the thing. That's why this was such a big deal, because total cutting off. In other words, my parents were supposed to cut me off, my brothers, my wife, even she can leave me if she wants to at that point. And so one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I have this old ratty Bible that I'm holding in my hand right now, and I just picked it up. It was about 2 a.m. I just picked the Bible up and it just fell open to Mark chapter 10.
Hmm.
Now, I don't advise studying this way. But there was a reason that it popped open to that chapter. And my eyes immediately went up to the top left corner. That's where it is in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because in this account, I flipped back, and this is the account that says, I'll just read this. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" And then this is where my eyes went first. "And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.'"
Amen.
"Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" And that hit me. I said, "I'm afraid."
Mm-hmm.
"I'm afraid to do this."
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said in verse 29, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And Ed, when I read that, I sat there and I looked at it and I got up, I got out of bed and I went into my office and I got on my knees and I did what you said at the beginning of this program, claimed the promise.
Amen.
I spoke to God and I said, "I can't do this, but you're promising me that all things are possible. So this is on you now."
Yes.
And you know, we can talk to God like that. "I can't do it. You have to do it. You're making this promise. You need to be faithful to me."
See, that's part of coming to the realization that we need the Son of God in their lives, because we can't do it on our own.
You're right.
And God empowers us through His Son to be able to do these things by simply believing the words that are written on the page, the promises of God's Word.
Amen. So, you know, let me ask you, just personally, how do you feel about somebody saying, God, I can't do this. I'm putting the onus on you.
I think we all need to do that.
We do, don't we?
We need to put our faith and trust in God, knowing that He has to be the one that does it through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right. Because I can't do it. I knew there was no way that I could get through this. Because I was thinking about all the people that I knew. What do I do if they just cut me off? Well, He promises, look, if this happens, don't worry about it. You think it's impossible. You think that these things can't be made right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been amazing. I've been on an amazing journey. And I went to my family and I told them, and I said, this is what I believe. And my family even said, well, if you get kicked out of the church, if you get cut off from the church, we'll never speak to you again. And it allowed me to be able to give a tremendous witness, because we sat down at my dining room table. It was myself and my dad and mom, one of my brothers and his wife, and my wife. So there were six of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after they came home from church on a Sunday. I had stopped going by that time.
Yeah.
I just couldn't be a part of it anymore. And they came over my house at about 1 o'clock on a Sunday. And at 9 o'clock that night, we were still sitting at the table in my dining room. We hadn't served any food. It was that intense. And I was taking a lot of heat from them.
Yeah.
But I have it right here, Ed. I'm going to show it to you. I have a piece of loose leaf paper right here written in pencil.
Right.
This is the original paper that I used with all of the scriptures, nothing but scripture,
right,
that I used to just defend what I had learned and share with them what I had learned from the Bible. So when they would ask me a question and they would say, well, Moses' law was wiped away. We don't have to fulfill the Ten Commandments are with Moses' law. And I said, well, let's take a look at Deuteronomy 31.
Right.
And we could see that the Ten Commandments were in the Ark, and they had never seen these things before. And
you know, most people haven't seen these things before because they're just going by what their church or pastor
right.
says. And they use these texts that we have people coming frequently saying, God's law has been done away with.
Right. We get that all the time. I was just having a Bible study with someone just a few days ago, telling me the same thing. And I said, well, let's look at the text and see what it says.
Yeah.
And then once they saw what the text said, they were surprised and said, I'd never noticed that.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with me. I was going by my church, by what they taught. So during that 10-year period, I had really studied the Sabbath, so I knew that better than any other topic. Well, once I stopped going to the church, I didn't get ousted immediately, but once I stopped, I just started, instead of filling myself with church information, I just started studying the Bible and reading it and trying to comprehend, what does it say? What's this telling me? Well, now my doctrines have changed in my mind, because I was taught that I would never meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we will see Him. We will meet God face to face based on revelation. I was told that that there are separate groups of people that get certain rewards.
Right.
But Jesus says, no, you're one flock under one shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things, I'm like, I've read this before, but why didn't I see it? So I was kind of deprogramming
right.
and just allowing the Bible to speak for itself. So as time went on and I learned all of these things, I was learning these things from the Bible, after about 3 years, I decided I need to find people to fellowship with. I really felt that need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I didn't see how God was working here. I mean, I knew He was working in my life, but I started looking for a church. I was looking for certain doctrines, and I'm just going to share what they are. I could eliminate a lot of churches by what you believe about the soul, what happens when we die.
Right.
Many churches teach the immortality of the soul.
Right.
The Bible doesn't teach that.
Right, we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
So I just eliminated about 98% of churches in the world.
Right.
Well, that narrows the field. well, now I have to find a church that, that keeps all of the Ten Commandments and believes that the Sabbath is Sabbath is holy. Well, I just got rid of the other 1.5%, so now the margin's really narrow.
Yeah.
So then I realized that the Bible has a prophetic word. There's a prophetic information in here. And I had come to understand things about the beast of Revelation,
right,
and about the Antichrist power just through historical things and things that I had been picking up on and by reading what the Bible says. So I was looking at a church. I wanted to find a church that would teach those things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, you know, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I ended up joining a church for a period of time. Right. That had those things right, but they were off on one of the main things that I knew I'd never be a part of.
Who is God and who is His Son?
Yes, and I knew that going in.
Yeah,
I knew that going in, but the pastor and the head elder said, you don't have to believe that to be a part of this church. And I said, well, as long as you know this with me coming in, I'm fine with being a part of this fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I joined that particular church. And it was through that process that I met you, Ed.
Yeah.
You weren't going to that same
no.
location, but through my studies, I found that, and I think I mentioned this last week, you had a lot of truth, but there were things that you didn't know because you were going by what the church taught.
Right.
Well, by this time, I knew those truths that, for the most part, that you knew and understood by that time, but even though I rejected the Trinity doctrine and that church taught it, I had a false understanding even then.
Yes.
So here I am. I still believe. Now I really know I have the truth. And then through a study with our friends Rick and Mary,
right.
we studied for, I guess it was close to, Mary says it's about 3 years, yeah. I think she says. And it was pretty intense.
It sounded like it.
We would get together, Rick and Mary and I, we would get together nearly every single Sabbath for hours, and we would go round and round about who is God, who is Jesus. You know, is there one God, or is it three in one? Or
right, and you both discovered something during that time.
We did.
Something different.
Yes. I found that what I believed was wrong, because I'll just share this with everybody. I was taught that Jesus was created by God.
Yeah.
And that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus is never called the created Son of God. He's called what?
The only begotten Son.
That's it. And we've discussed here on this program, and we'll do it more in the future, what that means.
Right.
And so here I was.
And they believed in the Trinity.
They believed in a triune God.
And you were trying to convince them of one thing, and they were trying to convince you of another, and you both discovered we were both wrong.
Yeah. And it came. What was amazing was that happened at about this. It's like we crossed at the same time. It was like all of this information that we had been discussing. You know, here I am trying to push what I had been taught, and here they were trying to push what they had been taught. But when we started allowing the Bible to speak for itself, it's like it all fell together.
So you're driving in your truck.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you mentioned that. Excuse me. So what had happened was a fellow that I was in church with came to me, and he says, you know, I understand that you believe something different about the Godhead than what the church teaches. And I, you know, it was a pretty hot topic privately, but had never been made public. And I said, well, yeah, that's true. He says, well, why don't you, this was on a Sabbath, he says, why don't you come to my house, not tomorrow, but next Sunday, and share with me what you believe? Well, he was the first person to ever ask me to do that.
Right.
People just assumed they knew what I believed. So I realized, Ed, I realized at that moment, do I know what I believe? I thought I did. And I thought, you know, I've always taught what I had learned all of my life, but now I've had to defend my position. But I've never had to teach it.
Yeah.
What a difference. You know that, being a Sabbath school teacher.
Right.
So having to defend myself, I could defend myself well, but now I have to teach somebody? So I didn't know what I was going to do at that moment. Excuse me. Glad I have a cough button here.
Yeah.
So what happened was I went home, got in my office, got on my knees, and I prayed. You know, this is
God
a normal.
God answers prayers.
He absolutely does. And so I got on my knees and I prayed, and my prayer was, Father, help me to show him. His name was Mike. I'll just tell you mm-hmm. that. Help me to show Mike the truth about who you are. It was just a simple prayer. Help me to know the words to use
right.
to show him the truth. And so the following Tuesday, I was driving home from work. Sorry about that. I was driving home from work, and we had a Bible series that was coming up that year. This was the first year that we were going to do a series.
That's kind of where we met.
That's where we met. Yeah. It was 2012. Yeah. And so here I am driving home from work, and I'm thinking about the message of Daniel that I'm going to be presenting. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Daniel 2:44, I know what that text says. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, right? In the days of those kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. It shall crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever.
Yes.
And I'm paraphrasing there because I remembered that so well. And while I'm driving along, I have this thought. And I didn't hear a voice. Mm. It was nothing like that. But I said it out loud to myself. I said, what's the next verse say? Because I couldn't remember. So I'm going to turn there right now. Daniel chapter 2.
This is important because Mark is doing what we should all do, read the text or read it in context.
That's it. So, and I knew and I understood the context of Daniel 2, and I was just running through the series in my mind. But I couldn't remember verse 45. So I'm going to begin in verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, that's God's kingdom, shall stand forever. And then verse 45. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, and I stopped, and I said, the stone cut out of the mountain. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church.
Yes.
And look, I get goosebumps right now. I'm getting goosebumps because this was a pivotal moment in my life. And I said, the stone cut out of the mountain. The mountain must be God. Wait a minute. The stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Hands denote creation. So I immediately went back to Genesis, and I saw that, you know, we see that Adam was made from the dust, but Eve was taken out of Adam.
Yes.
Just like the stone cut out of the mountain.
Let's make man in our image after our likeness. Man.
Yes. And so all of these things are rushing, and all of these texts are just loading my mind, and I can't flip to the text fast enough. Proverbs chapter 8, 22 yes. through 30. And so after it was 20 minutes I sat there, and I was going through these verses, and I couldn't wait to get home. And I got home, and there was a friend of mine that lived in another country, and I was hoping he would be on Skype. It was Skype in those days. It wasn't Zoom. And sure enough, he was. And the fact of the matter is we had both come to the same conclusion at the same time in different countries.
Yeah, he was telling you, hey, I've got this news to tell you. Yeah. You were saying, hey, I've got this news to tell you.
We couldn't wait to tell each other. We were so excited. We were ecstatic. And we had both realized it was the stone that was cut out of the mountain, that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the begotten Son, yes. not the created Son. All of my life, I was wrong. And then all of your life, you were wrong believing, or your church was wrong, believing that Jesus was co-eternal. No, he's a son. Yeah. He's a son, literally. So when I went to Mike's house the Sunday, that following Sunday, I thanked him for asking me that question. I said, because before you asked me that question, I believed something different than I believe today.
Yeah.
And what a changer for me. It changed my life completely. Go ahead. We only have a couple of minutes left.
The Bible continues to speak to us, learning new things.
Amen. It does.
It wasn't maybe it's 5 years, 6 years ago now, we came to an understanding of Christ in you, the hope of God.
Yes, that's right. I didn't know that before.
The second half of the gospel story, they're saved by Christ's life. We're reconciled to God by his death, but we're saved by his life. In fact, you were talking to someone just the other day about that.
Yes, I was. And it's so powerful. You know, maybe we can continue next week with these same type of things. We might have another topic too, but But I think that it's so important, the changes that this has made, this message has made in my life.
And it's from reading God's Word.
Amen. And, you know, I ended up leaving the church that I had been in before. When this all came up in the church that I was attending after that, it became a hot topic.
Yes.
And I had to leave there too. And this is pretty much how Prophecies of Hope started,
right?
Just from sticking to God's Word. And you know, it's an amazing thing when you think about who Christ is, the literal Son of God.
You know, people are so used to listening to their church or their pastor or denomination. Very few people want to take the time and study God's Word to find out what it really says.
And Ed, I was right there. This was me. I believed that my church was the truth. I grew up in it. That was all I knew. And so we're not pointing to people and saying, hey, you're unusual if this happens. This has happened to all of us.
Yeah.
We grow up in something. That's all we know.
Right.
And so, you know, it's so important that we just, again, like you said at the very beginning, and like you say it almost every week, and it needs to be said, read the words on the page.
Yeah, see what the Bible says.
Amen. So that we're just about out of time, friends, and, you know, I really appreciate people taking the time to listen to this testimony. There's so much more to it.
Yes.
There's a lot more to what you shared last week.
And it hasn't ended today.
No, this is an ongoing thing.
Yes.
We'll learn and we'll continue to be used by God, hopefully.
Right.
And see Him working in our lives. So let's just go ahead and close with a word of prayer,
right,
shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of testimony where we can come together and just share what's on our hearts, how you have worked in our lives, how our lives have been changed by you through your Son, Christ Jesus, and how we can learn the truth of your word simply by just reading it and paying attention to the words that are on the page. We ask that you will encourage others to be able to do this, those who are listening. I pray that this program will have an effect on them to want to know you and your Son, and just to simply open their Bibles and study and see what you have to say to them. So please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for this gift of being able to be on the air and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, is the most precious thing we have. And we praise you and thank you, Father. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So Ed, thanks again for being here. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And friends, we'll be back here next week, Lord willing, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.